us. Say, why? Because an old fogey's teaching it, amen? See all these women poking their lips out? They're not fooling me. Most of them got about as many birthdays as I have. But all that said and done, this is the adult Bible class, so we have a little humor. You might as well have fun with it, because you're not going to fool nobody anyway, amen? We've been teaching on the rapture last week. We've been doing some basic doctrines here and going to do that for a little while in the Sunday school class. And so I'm going to review some from last week and then move on just a little bit further. And I'd like for you to open your Bibles now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll read the verses you're so familiar with as we kind of kick off the subject again this morning. I think I'll read the text, and then I'll ask the tape room to lower the screen. I don't use the screen much, but I'm going to do so this morning just to give you a little bit of a verbal mental picture of what I'm talking about here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's pick it up in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now I want to stop there before I read the last three verses on the word you might not quite understand there, and that's the word prevent. Now today in our modern use of the word, if somebody says, well, I prevented a wreck, or I prevented that child from getting run over, you understand what they're talking about. But in the old English, it had a little bit different meaning that will help you to understand it. I'm not one from changing the old Bible. I don't change it. God used the translators to put it just like we have it, and he's blessed it just like we have it. So I don't mess with changing it. First place, I'm not near as smart as they are. And second place, God's already put his stamp of approval on what they said. So let's leave it alone. Amen? But the word prevent in the day that it was used here, and really still today, you know what we've done today, folks? We've changed true meanings of words to the place we're in a lot of trouble with them. We've had good words stolen from us and abused. You know that? Let me give you an example. There's a kind of a gospel country song on our radio station. When I say it, if you haven't heard it, you'll listen for it. But they're singing along, and they're talking about it being a good day. And they say the cows in the meadow are happy and gay. Now, you wouldn't write a song like that today, because the word gay's been all messed up. It's been stolen. It's been abused. So you don't use the word much. Say, well, we had a gay old time. Watch out. That's what's happened to the English language. We've been hijacked. Robbed in so many ways. But look at the word prevent here in the text that we're reading here. And here's what it means, and then you'll understand it. It means to go before or come after. Front or back, go before or come after. Now, I'll give you a little proof of that. Hold your place here. We'll come back. Go to Psalms 59, and you'll find it quick as me now. Just use your Bible. And one thing about our church, we love for you to bring your Bible and use it. And so go to Psalms 59 and pick it up in verse 10. And we'll find the same word, and then you'll understand somewhat what the Lord is saying here. So in Psalms 59, verse 10, it says, the God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Now, let me show you what that's mean. God of my mercy shall go before me. He will prevent me. His blessings. He will be a shield to me. He will guard me. You could find it in Psalms 21. If you went to Psalms 21 and pick it up around, I think about verse 3, you find the word used. By the way, the best way to understand the Bible is let the Bible interpret itself. So in Psalms 21, in verse 3, "For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness." Now let's get the thought. You go before him, "For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness." Now, that means the blessings go before. It means God is looking after. So when we come back to the text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it says, "The Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep," then it is simply telling us that we're not going to go before them that died in the Lord. And it goes on to explain it in its context. "For it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God," and watch it now, "and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, we're not going to go ahead of them. They're going to come up, join us, and we're going to go on up together. Understand what it's saying? A person that's been saved and died, their soul went in the presence of the Lord, but their body went to the cemetery. But at the resurrection, the body is going to be called forth and changed and meet the soul in the air. You and I that have not died physically, we're going to go up with them, but we'll skip the funeral home. We'll skip the grave, thank God. And we'll be changed, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Now, that's what we're talking about that we call the rapture. Go ahead and run it on down. I just drew this up. And then they put it on a computer and cleaned it up. Looks a lot better than when I got through with it, I'll tell you that. Maybe next week, if I'm able to, I'll run this off. I have just exactly what you see on the screen here in my hand. Maybe I'll run it off and give everybody one that wants one. Now, this is not very busy. I don't have the scripture references on it. I just want you to get what we call a timeline, to understand where we at and where the rapture fits in. Now let's just think on what you're seeing back there. Adam, that's what the song was about a while ago. We didn't come from monkeys, amen? God created a man, and that man was called Adam, that first man in the garden. He was just as real, in fact, more real than you and I. I don't want to get into that story too much, except to say that's our beginning, not a tadpole in a mud hole, but Adam back there was the creation of God. Now, a timeline, we're running a timeline from Adam to the end, or what we might say, not the end, but the new beginning. And so if you look at the chart up there, you see Adam, and then you see a cross. We know what the cross represents. It represents the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you see the words church and grace in 2,000 years. And we are now living in the church age. And it's the grace age. A man gets saved by grace today. Thank God, because he can't earn it. He can't work his way to heaven. And so we're living in the church age, the grace age. Now, according to our calendar, it's running 2,012 years. However, that's starting back from the birth of Christ, and the calendar is not, everybody knows it's not perfect. It's close, but it's not perfect. But they generally count from the birth of Christ. Most of them say 4 BC, and some think maybe just a little bit later than that. But anyway, think with me a moment. I like to do the time, personally, I like to do the time not from the birth of Christ, but from the crucifixion or the resurrection. And that's when the dispensation change really took place. And so with that said, we're still in the church age. Now, how is the church age going to end? You see on the picture behind me where it says rapture, you see those little arrows? Can you see them all the way on the back row where the little arrows are going up? Well, I just read in the text here, when the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel, some folks are going up. Those that are saved are going up. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, the word rapture, somebody says, did not appear in the Bible. Well, it's in the word caught up. And in Latin, it would say rapture or rapier, or however they say it. That don't matter. The caught up is telling you what's happening. You're going up, amen? That's what it's talking about. The word means to be moved from one place to another. And it generally carries the meaning with it that you move from a place you're at to a better place. And that's what's going to happen when we moved up to be with the Lord in heaven. Now, we're familiar with the passage pretty much that we read. This is common doctrine, especially among Baptists and certainly among independent Baptists and those that use the Scofield Reference Bible. Scofield didn't invent the rapture. He come along, made some good notes on it that I agree with. Don't agree with every note he's got because still, the Bible's the only perfect book. However, pretty much you'll find this doctrine. Now, it is very unique to Baptists, and there's a lot of churches that have another name on it that I say teach what I call Baptist doctrine. But generally, when you have the word Baptist, you know a set of beliefs that they believe, and that's good. Baptists didn't name themselves. We were named by our enemies, basically. But we take what's called a premillennial view. So if you look at your chart right here again, if you come to the church age, the grace age, showing 2,000 years, we say 212 now, and you show the rapture. Following the rapture, you see the big word, tribulation. That's what your husband gives you or your wife gives you. You understand what that is, don't you? Tribulation worketh patience, the Bible says. Be patient with him, amen? But the tribulation period is not for you and I if we're saved. It's for those that will be left behind, and especially it is for the Jews or the nation of Israel. And the tribulation period is called in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7, the day of Jacob's trouble. It's a day predicted in the Old Testament. It's a day Jesus spoke of much in the Bible. And it's a day where God deals with the nation of Israel. Now understand something. Jew, Gentile, any race today needs Jesus Christ to be saved. Now, today we think of the church age as more the Gentile age. The first church actually was a Jewish church. And Gentiles come along as you study in the book of Acts. But nationally, as a nation, Israel or the Jews rejected the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're still looking for their Messiah, and some of them are beginning to wise up and realize it had to be Jesus. But with all that said, God is going to have a time that he brings Jacob's trouble. 7 years, we understand the tribulation period, as you see on your chart. Now, time's not going to allow me to get into the detail. Somebody says, how do you know 7 years? Well, if you take Daniel chapter 9, the prophet Daniel gave a designated period of time to his people. His people were the Jews. That designated time was a period of 490 years. And again, Scofield's notes are good on that. I believe it's pretty good on that when you go to Daniel chapter 9. And those years came up to the time of the Messiah, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came up to the time that the Bible says, in fact, Daniel says that he'd be cut off, but not for himself. Understand, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he didn't die for himself. He died for me and you. He came and took our sins. He was God's son. He was Israel's Messiah. He came and took our price of our sin on him and died in our place and shed his blood for us. We understand that. Now, at that time, that 490 years was 490 years was 70 weeks, 70 weeks of years. Let me say this. Let me put it this way. If you had a week of oranges, how many oranges would you have? You'd have seven, right? Now, a week of years, you got 7 years. And so 7 years times 70, 70 times seven, 490 years. Now, up to Christ, 483 of those years had taken place when he was cut off, when he died on the cross. There is 1 week of years left. 1 week of years is 7 years. That's the tribulation period. That's how you get the length of it. And that was determined on the Jews, from writings of the prophet Daniel. So we're waiting for what's often called in Bible study the 70th week to come. In the meantime, we have a gap. We have the grace age. We have the church age. That's where you and I are alive at right now. I personally believe that we're right down here waiting and listening for the trump of God to call us out. And when the saved are called out, the seven-year tribulation period, which the book of Revelation deals with in great detail. If you go from basically from chapter 4 in Revelation to chapter 19, you have the tribulation period. I understand in chapter 5, John's caught up into heaven, but when you get into chapter 6 and the seven seal book starts to be opened, you're dealing then with the tribulation period until you get to chapter 19. Now look on your chart again. You see not only a rapture going up, you see the second coming coming down. Do you see that? Do you see that right at the end of the tribulation period? We often speak of that, and the world speaks of it today as Armageddon. And the world's fearing Armageddon right now with all the nuclear talk and all the trouble and all the wars that's going on. And Iran about to close the Strait of Hamas over there and all that business. World War III, they talk about being triggered, all that business. Well, we understand when the tribulation period breaks, Jesus said it would be a time like no other the earth had ever had in Matthew 24. Awful time. And Jesus is going to come back. Jesus was speaking of it himself in Matthew 24, said, then the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in heaven, and the tribes of the earth will mourn. Revelation 19 brings you down to where, and you hear this terminology every now and then. Even hear some of the newsmen, they don't know they're quoting the Bible, but they quote it every now and then. And once in a while, you'll hear them say, if we don't do this, this, or this, Armageddon's going to be at the door. Now, if you cornered one of them, asked him to explain Armageddon, he couldn't tell you nothing. You don't know the Bible. But you folks that do know something about the Bible understand the day and time that we're living in today. Now, when the rapture takes place, God's people, God's church, saved by grace, are going up to heaven. I believe they're going up to the judgment seat of Christ, and they're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's going to be in heaven. Then we're coming back down in an army, the Lord's army. And you'd read about it in Revelation chapter 19. It's very clear that we're coming back with him. He's going to be coming back down on the white horse that you've seen the artist try to depict. He's going to be coming back leading the armies of heaven. And he's going to defeat the armies of the nations. Hey, by the way, isn't it amazing? The United Nations and all of them getting together, you know what their final act's going to be? They're going to be trying to stop the Creator from coming back and taking over his creation. That's what Armageddon's about. They're going to gather, the Bible says, at Jerusalem. They're going to be trying to, as it were, do what Ahmadinejad from Iran says, push Israel into the sea. They're going to try to destroy that nation, and you're seeing that in the news. I mean, listen, all this uprising, so-called Arab Spring, that's not good. Man, they're all getting together over there, the Muslim Brotherhood and all that crowd. They're massing the nations. They're aligning the nations to go against Israel, just like the Bible said. And it'll reach its fulfillment in this thing we call the tribulation period. At the end of the tribulation period, Jesus will return with the armies of heaven. He'll defeat them with a double-edged sword that goes out of his mouth, the scripture says. Hey, I'm in that army. You know, when I was a kid, I always wanted a Shetland pony. I never got one. Couldn't have hardly kept him in that little house for the rest of the family. Truth of the matter is, later on, I watched the Cowboys, and I wanted me one of them white horses like the heroes rode. Never got me one. But I'm going to get one day when I come back in the army following the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not only going to have a white horse, he's going to let all... You see, we're joint heirs with him. We're going to have the blessing of being in his army, and we're going to come back to take over this old world. If you got some folks in this world giving you trouble right now and you're saved and they're not, when you get back, you can take care of them. Now, I'm joking with you a little bit. I've, during the years as a pastor, had to fight government some, so-called, and bureaucrats. That's still a dirty word with me. I've told a few of them, sometimes jokingly and sometimes pretty serious, you just wait till I get back in the millennial reign, I'll take care of you. Because I'm going to rule with Christ then, amen? And that is a truth, folks. The Christians right now are being abused in this whole world. They're being laughed at. They're being joked about. And in foreign lands, they're being murdered like you would not believe, just for being Christians. But the shoe's going to be on the other foot one day. It's going to definitely change. And when we come back to rule and reign with Christ, how long? Well, look at it at the end of your chart. That's the kingdom age, the 1,000-year reign with Christ. Now, Revelation chapter 20 tells us how long it is. It says we're going to rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. And just in case you missed it, it says it six times. Six times in Revelation chapter 20 that we're going to rule and reign with Christ. Now, that's a wonderful, wonderful thought. We are a little mixed up today. A lot of churches are a little mixed up. A lot of Protestant churches, as well as Catholic churches, are mixed up on the kingdom. They think we're in the kingdom now, and it's getting better all the time. I don't know what newspaper they read. It's not the ones I've been reading. It's sure not getting better. Did you ever in school before, I'm talking to the older crowd now, remember when you and I went to school and every morning we stood up and quoted, "Our Father which art in heaven," remember? And the ACLU wasn't around to say nothing about it, and the Supreme Court hadn't made no stupid rulings. Remember that? Well, you remember what we said in what we call the Lord's Prayer? We said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is done in heaven." Remember that? Well, the kingdom is coming. We're not bringing it in. Jesus is bringing it back with him. You see, right now, the world claims to be the kingdom. They're trying to put the one world kingdom together. That's what the whole plan is. If you can't understand some of the stupid stuff going on in Washington, just remember what their goal is. Global. Everything global. Everything. One world kingdom. That's what they're trying to do. That's why we have such stuff as our president getting up and saying, "We're not a Christian nation." Well, we used to be. Our founding fathers were. And the more we turn from God, the deeper our trouble gets. That's what's going on. The Bible says that the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all nations that forget God. And the interesting thing is today, folks say, "Where's America in the Bible?" I'll tell you where it's at. When it says all nations, we're included in the all. And I hate to say it, but as things are going and the way it's looking like today, if this rapture takes place and you and I, the saved folks, are caught out, America, you talk about changing, brother. What goods in America is going to be gone? And America would be lined up with the rest of the nations against Israel once the rapture and the saved are taken out. I hate to say it, but that's the truth. Now, the good news is, though, that just before they're able to destroy Israel, God's coming back. Israel's going to come to a place of repentance. They're going to recognize the Messiah when he comes back. Book of Zechariah says they're going to ask him, "Where'd you get the wounds in your hands and your feet?" He's going to say, "I was wounded in the house of my friends." Remember John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of God. One day I came in a church like this that believed the Bible and was preaching the gospel, sat on the back row, and if it had been a row back further, I'd have got on it. But I heard the good news that God loved me and gave his son to die for me. And you know what? I received him as my Savior, and that's the greatest day I ever lived. That's the greatest thing ever happened to me. Now, he came unto his own received him not, but unto his many. I hope you're in the many that received him. And then he gives you power to become the sons of God. And we will come back in the kingdom age with him and rule and reign with him 4,000 years. Now, we're talking about the rapture. Today, there's a lot of deception going on. In fact, a lot of foolishness are even entering some good churches today. And that foolishness is, well, we're going to go through the tribulation period. No, the tribulation period is the day of Jacob's trouble. That's Israel. The church is going to be caught out. Some say, well, we've had it too easy, so we're going to have to go in there and be cleansed of our sins. That's a joke. Jesus died for my sins on the cross. He paid a judgment I couldn't pay and a price I couldn't. If I went through the tribulation period and all the bad stuff happened to me, it wouldn't pay for one of my sins. Only the fact that Jesus Christ loved me and took my place, died for me while I was yet a sinner. So don't get a hold of this thing that you got to go through there to get your just dues. If you got your just dues, you'd never be saved. Our just dues was put on him as he became sin for us and died on the cross of Calvary. We understand that. Now, I say this, the church is identified in the scripture as being called out as a bride of Christ. Now, here's a wonderful truth. Jesus is coming back. He taught it. Maybe the midnight hour when the trumpet sounds, the Jewish wedding typified it. When the young man would come back for his bride, what a big deal that was in the Old Testament and the Old Jewish, and still is today, in their thing of the wedding. Well, Jesus is going to come, and he's coming back for his bride. That's the rapture. So the church will be called out. We'll be in heaven at the judgment seat and at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're not going through any part of the tribulation. Some say, well, we're going to go halfway through it. No, we're not going to be drug into it at all. And the danger of teaching that is you'll get the Jew out of place. You're mixing up the Jew and the church. The tribulation period, again, is to the nation of Israel, to the Jews. Now, if you teach that the church has got to go through some or all of the tribulation, then what you're doing when you do that, you are breaking the imminency. The rapture is imminent. You know what that means? It means it could happen before I get through. It means before we get through the service today, the trumpet could sound. We could go up any moment. 1 Corinthians 15 says it'll happen in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye. Not a bat of the eye. There's a difference. A twinkle's faster than batting the eye. Amen. That's how quick it could happen. And the Bible says where we read the text, we could be changed in the moment here. And 1 Corinthians 15 says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now, so it's imminent, and we're looking toward that. If you try to bring the church into the tribulation period, then some other things would have to happen. For instance, the Antichrist would have to show up. Now, personally, I'm glad that I'm going to look down on him. I think he's alive. I think he's in the world. I think the devil always has his man. I think that. But the good part is that, bless God, we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for the real Christ. We're looking for our Savior. And we're not looking for the mark of the beast. It'll come in the tribulation period. All those bad things will. But we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you know what? That makes it the blessed hope. That's what Titus chapter 2, verse 13 calls the rapture. Not looking for the Antichrist, but looking for the blessed hope. Why is it a blessed hope? Because we're going to escape the judgment that's fixing to come on planet Earth. If you would, turn with me real quick. My time will be gone before I can get very far on it. But if you would, turn with me to the, well, there's several places that I could go with this. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Now there's a great passage here in 2 Peter chapter 3. It tells us that there'll be scoffers in the last days. You see them on your TV. You hear them all the time. Scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? That's mocking the second coming of Christ. And they are basically saying what you and I have heard people say, and that is, I've heard that all my life, and Jesus hadn't come yet. That's okay. Peter answers that time thing. If you pick it up in verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 3, listen to it. He says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. Now, he's saying, you think a thousand years is a long time? He's saying, well, with God, that's just like one day. He said, don't worry about the time. Time is something man measures. Book of Revelation tells us there's coming a day when there'll be time no longer. Won't need it anymore. By the way, if you and I were not dying creatures, we wouldn't need to count the hours anyway. Or the days, or the weeks, or the months, would we? We wouldn't need to. because the truth is, you can't use them up. And that's the way it's going to be with the Lord. Right now, we're using them up pretty fast, aren't we? Counting 41 years for me as an anniversary here. And that's using them up pretty fast. But anyway, wonderful thing is that we're going to be caught up on God's timing, and He is not late. Sometime we'll say, well, if the Lord delayeth His coming. No, He's not delaying His coming. He's got it set. He's going to come on time. You and I are the ones that have problem meeting the time, not God. Amen? And I think about the promise, though, and if you go with me to the book of Revelation, we'll look at a promise here. Look at Revelation chapter 3 and pick it up in verse 10. Here's a promise that's, I'm sure, glad's in the book. And Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. And, of course, the message is to the seven churches here. But spiritually, we certainly have this claim today in the church age. Chapter 3, verse 10. He says to the church at Philadelphia, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour. Now watch that. Hour, that's a time measurement. Keep thee from the hour of tribulation. Not tribulation, temptation, same thing. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, let me just give you a little logic right here. God says, I'm going to come and take you from this hour of temptation. That's going to try the world. Now, He says it's going to come on all the world. Now, that hour is that tribulation period that we're talking about here on our chart. Now, if God's going to take us away from that time, from that hour of temptation on the earth, and it's on all the earth, then where is He going to have to take us to get us away from it? Do you ever think about that? There's only one place. We're going to have to be with Him. We're going to have to be above it. We're going to have to be in heaven. Amen? And that wonderful promise that we're not going to go through it. That's a good one. And of course, there's many others that time's not going to let me look at. I'd love to tell you some others. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 26. I don't believe I'm going to make it. I think my time's going to tick off on me here. If you went to Isaiah 26, you have a wonderful promise over there that God's going to hide us from some bad stuff that's coming on the earth. And I pick it up in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. Thy dead men shall live together. With my dead body shall they arise. Now that's resurrection. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Resurrection. Now watch it in verse 20. Come, my people. Whose people? His. My people. Enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. Watch it now. Until the indignation be overpassed. That's the tribulation period, folks. The next verse ties into it, too. You know what? I'm glad I'm going to be up above at the judgment seat, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And all I'm waiting on right now is the trumpet to sound. Now I want to say this. The resurrection is a blessed hope for believers. It's going to be a terrible day for unbelievers. Can you imagine with me a moment a husband coming home and saying, honey, is supper ready? And honey's not there. Holler, kids, where are you at? But the kids aren't there. You say, no, yeah, it will happen just that way. That's not going to be pleasant. He's going to remember I went to church with my wife, and she told me about the rapture, and the preacher preached about it, but I didn't believe it. They're going to mysteriously disappear in a moment. What a horrible time for those left behind. You say, then, if that happens to me, then I'll believe. God says it's too late. It's too late. Question is, are you saved today? If the trumpet sounds, will you go up? That's a wonderful truth, the rapture. We'll talk a little more about it next week because I had to hurry too much. You listen too slow